Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi and I'm delighted to say I am joined by Open Goal's very own Simon Ferry.
What's happening, mate?
Looking remarkably fresh, opening day.
Always look better when it's on the podcast,
don't
they?
Aye, one each draw. One each,
mate.
Done my cooking, cheers.
Did you? Didn't I, mate? Sorry. Not a great result.
William Hill cooking, I hope, yeah.
First game of the season. We weren't a great. Draw was probably a fair result. We, Gus, has got them quite well organised and nearly fit, so it was a tough game, first tough start.
And alongside Simon, I'm delighted to say we are joined by the former Dundee United, Dundee Air United, Kilmarnock, Reading, Scotland.
<You're all there.
laughs> Striker, our one and only Andy McLaren, a good friend of Open Goals. Andy, good to see you.
Thanks, Mark.
How's things?
Good.
Very
good,
say to you, do you like that voice in the toilet?
We'll share that with the listeners later. Andy looking remarkably fresh, all things considered. So, what were you up to at the weekend, Andy? Did you go and take in a game?
I didn't. No, I sat and Jeff and the boys watched the scores coming in. I've not seen. I've got the highlights of the games. Recorded, so I've not had a chance to see them, but some good results, some bad results. So I look forward to a good season again.
When you look at, for example, the top flight, you see Celtic winning, Hearts winning, Kilmarnock winning, Aberdeen and Rangers a draw on the Sunday, Hibs getting a good victory against Motherwell. Two, what do you make of the opening weekend, guys, as a... Is it good to just to get that one under your belt and get moving, or is there not too much to read into it?
I think there's going to be a massive gap this year with the top five and the rest of the league. I think all five of them look really strong. Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs and Hearts. I really fear for... Lanarkshire? Two Lanarkshire clubs. Is that what they're fair?
Lanarkshire.
Hamilton and Motherwell.
Yeah, you fear for
right,
two.
Then. There you go, a bit of geography as well. I really fear for the two of them. I mean, Motherwell, for Hibs to play on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Fly Greece, back from Greece.
Fly back from Greece. And it was a doing. It was 3-0 after, 50 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Usually one thing you're saying about Motherwell is that they're good defensively and well organised, but defending was terrible. Eh? And to add to that, they've lost the boy Keeper, who was probably their best defender. I thought they looked much better when the boy Johnson came on up front, the ginger boy.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first 50 minutes, Hibs absolutely battered them. And Hamilton as well, I think Hearts could have been 8 or 9 for Hearts against Hamilton on Saturday.
I think Celtic looked impressive, didn't they?
I think Livingston as well. I think you've got to fling them in. I think they'll maybe... Hamilton and Motherwell will be looking for them to maybe dig them out a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Every year you look at Hamilton and think they've gone a good end, didn't they? And they've had a bad start, but I mean, I don't think you can read too much into it. I think... After a couple of weeks, things begin to settle down. There's still the window's still open as well, so I think that could have a big impact on it as well.
And as well, one team that I didn't mention at the top, deliberately didn't mention them because they've just come up to it. It was a brilliant result in Paisley for Alan Stubbs, friend of the programme, and Alan getting a good victory for St Mirren against Dundee.
Brilliant. I was delighted for boy Danny Mullen as well, because I played against him when he was at Livingston. I always liked him.
Uh-huh.
Works his tail off, strong boy. Knows where the goal is. But speaking of people that were at the game as well, I think Dundee played quite well.
Uh-huh.
And to see that second goal actually baffles me.
Jack
Cammy Kerr's playing left back for one. He's a right footed. To pass the bottom with a boy 2 yards away from him, he passes it back to a goalie that tries to take people on. I mean, 1-1, start of the second half. You've got Musa up front, kick the ball up to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm a fan for playing it for the back, but there's times and a place, isn't there?
You both. Ex Dundee players, obviously at different stages,
but
you're talking about Hamilton and Motherwell.
Half million you, but
you're talking about Livy. But can you see Dundee possibly getting dragged into it?
Yeah,
I do. We played Dundee and they play lovely football, but they've got nothing up top.
Yeah.
They've not got.
They need somebody that's going to get them 12, 15 goals, and they're hard to come by.
They're trying to get Lawrence Shankland to scoring again for. For Air United, I mean, he looks as though he would, if you're kind of talking about that 100 to 150 grand, providing Air would sell for that amount, he looks as though he could be good value.
The thing with Dundee is they've not got a striker that can score goals, but they've not got a midfielder that can score goals either. O'Hara did score goals for them, but he's away.
Mm-hmm.
Wee Gowes is a good player, but he doesn't score goals. Mm-hmm. Same with the boy Kamara, tidy football player, but I really, really struggle to see where Dundee's goals come from. Big boy Musa again missed a penalty, so there's his confidence shot straight away. I think Shankland, good player, played against him again at Aberdeen. Always liked him at Aberdeen. I think he should be playing in the Premier League, Shankland. Mm-hmm. I think he'll score goals, definitely. It's a no-brainer for me for Dundee to go and get him.
Well, we'll go to Celtic, Aberdeen and Rangers in a minute, but we'll just, while we're on it, we'll switch across the city, in the City of Discovery, to Tannadice. Andy, you spent a long number of years, a lot of affection for Dundee United. Are you concerned what's going on there at the moment?
Yes. They've got a great record against Dunfermline. Dundee United was kind of Dunfermline's bogey team, so to get beat, they actually took the lead as well. And the noises up there aren't very good. I think there's a lot going on, but I think the manager's position is very, very uncertain. I think another bad result, and I think he could be away. And then you're back to the beginning again. You're back to the drawing board. You're starting for scratch again.
Do you not think he was, with all respect to him, and all for people getting an opportunity, but at the time it struck me he's been a strange appointment at the time, bringing in Chabalala. Yeah.
Dave, I think that championship, you need a guy that knows the league, don't you?
Yeah.
He's been away for Scotland for, 5 years? Mm-hmm. I don't know the guy, but I can't imagine he's kept tabs massively on Scottish football. I was at a wedding on Saturday night in Dundee, loads of Dundee United fans there, and saying that this is the most disillusioned they've been at the club since they can remember. Even their signings, it's so short term at Dundee United. I mean, if United were to get promoted, they boys are not good enough to play in the Premier League. The signings that they've made, so short term, I honestly didn't see them finishing the playoffs this year.
They don't seem to have a plan, but seem to stumble for one disaster. And I was reading, somebody put a thread up, and the last 3 years have been absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. Just everything that's went wrong, and there doesn't seem any light at the end of the tunnel. It would be different if you were in a bad position, but you could see a bit of hope and
a strategy, a plan.
Right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It doesn't seem to be anything. It just seems to be game to game, week to week. Just try to kind of, I don't know, just mumble your way through it. You know what I mean? They've got to go up this year. I think they've got to go up this year. They're banging trouble financially as well.
It is a shame because they are, in terms of Scottish football, they're a great club. You know, a really good fan base. They've got the potential. But they've got a lovely training facility in St Andrews.
Lovely stadium as well. It's a great stadium up there as well. You go and play football, and as I said, they just seem to have just lost the way in the last 3 years. There doesn't seem to be any leadership both on and off the park.
You were a real leader when you were there, weren't you?
No, but we had leaders. We had guys.
Men proper football.
That we call you out and things like that, you know. And it's missing that. I mean, that comes from the top as well, you know. I mean, I think the chairman's no flavour in a month up there either, you know.
Mike Martin, the guy who's taken over from Stephen Thompson.
I think Thompson's still about, isn't he? Stephen Thompson's still still a bit of Dubai to where the boy Mike Martin's in for him or whatever, you know. So as I say, I think it's the fans are unsettled as well, and it's a shame, as you say, Mark, because that's a good club and great fans as well, and it's sad to see.
When you look at the championship, we just stick with that for one minute, you look Dundee United, Inverness, Ross County, Partick Thistle, Falkirk, Dunfermline, Morton, Ayr, you know,
Queen,
you go through it, Queen of the South, as well, and Morton to finish it off. There's the 10, and you look at the kind of managers they've got and some of the budgets that are there. Not every one of them is going to manage to be successful. Not every one of them can obviously be top four pushing for promotion, so there could be a couple of, if you want to call it, big managerial casualties in there, because you know they all can't win games every week.
Thistle are another one that kind of seem to find their confidence for last year. Another defeat, was it Ayr beat them against that? I think there's going to be a lot of that this year. I think it's going to be a stronger league than it was last year.
I think it's going to be a really difficult league, because you named the teams here, everybody in that league can beat
each other,
you know, so it's going to be a really tough league to call. I've got a wee thing for them, not just after them beating, but I think they've got people that can score goals, haven't they? And if you get goal scorers, you've always got a chance.
I think County will win it, though. I think North County will. I think they've got the strongest squad in the league.
They struggled a bit on Saturday, but
I think Gardine was missing, who's a big player for them. Once he gets back, I think they'll be too strong for that division.
I think as well, you were talking about, you know, maybe a lack of leadership and stability at Dundee United. There is stability at Ross County, and if they're there or thereabouts, which you would expect it to be come January, you can imagine the chairman there, Roy McGregor, backing the manager and having a wee go at it to try and get them over the line.
That's the difference between a Ross County and Dundee United in the minute. There's a long-term strategy at Ross County. You know, the chairman loves the club, everyone knows that, and he backs his manager at the hilt. Could you say the same at Dundee United, you know, just now? So I think even if both clubs were to get promoted, Ross County would be better set for going into the Premier League than Dundee United would.
On the Premier League then, we'll get to that now, the fixture of the weekend, the one that the most anticipation to whet the appetite was Aberdeen v Rangers at Pittodrie. Did the fixture live up to it, or was it a wee bit disappointing because of the fact that it became 10-11 so early in the game?
It's nothing worse, is it, when a game, you're excited for a game and then somebody gets sent off after 12 minutes.
Should it have been a red card for Morelos?
I think it should have. You can't kick somebody, can you? But then again, Scott McKenna, maybe he should get at least a yellow for the barge on Morelos, you know. Twice he's barged him, but you can't kick people on a football pitch.
Red card, Andy?
I'd not seen it, but according to it was soft, wasn't it? It was soft, but according to the rules, it was...
According to the rules, that's what I'm saying, it's a sending-off.
But the letter of the law, it's a sending-off.
Certainly Rangers, I think, are going to have today.
People are going to have wee nibbles at Morelos if that's what he's going to do. You know, it's part of the game, you know. You try and use anything to get that wee advantage, you know. So he's going to need to use it. I mean, the manager spoke about it Thursday, Friday. He was talking about it at his press conferences. So they must have been aware that was what was going to happen, you know. So you've got to...
Given the fact then that Rangers were down to 10 men, if you look at now this Steven Gerrard's Rangers team and compare it to last season under Pedro Caixinha and Graham Murray, one thing that you can say about Rangers, they are organised, they are competitive, and they're playing for their manager, they're playing for their club. That was certainly evident to see on Sunday afternoon.
Definitely, I thought they'd done really well with 10 men. Better team with 10 men, definitely. I like the middle of the pitch. I think they've got energy, legs, guys who are winners. I think Jack's a good football player. Mm-hmm. Liked him when he was at Aberdeen. Arfield, I know, good player. And Boy Koulibaly can run all day. They three really impressed me. And like you say, organised at the back. Goldson and Cat. Other than the goal, I don't know what Goldson's doing for the goal, but uh-huh. I even think Flanagan at this level does well. Mm-hmm. Much more organised.
And even you look at Tavern, you know, think back to a couple of the old fun games at the end of last season. It was just, you know, I don't know if it was all getting to him. He was switching off easily. He was getting beaten easily down the wing. But now you look at him there, and he actually looks as if he's reveling in this captaincy role that Steven Gerrard's given him.
The thing that Gerrard's got is that they'll no one to let him down. So, guys going past you, you can see from the side, he'll not accept it. You know, one thing I like about Gerrard on the side is he's on his players all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Rangers need, that group of players. So they'll no get away with anything. Even in pre-season, I watched him, and big boy Goldson gave a slack pass, and he was on him straight away.
It's about standards, isn't it?
Exactly.
And he's going to raise the standards. If he gets 5% out of every other player, they're going to be a lot closer, you know. Because last year, what was it, 12? It was only finished with 12 points or something, I think it ended up.
Well, so, I think actually, look at the stat. Last season, Rangers took 10 points out of 12 from Aberdeen. I think they took 1 out of 12 from Celtic. Rangers, so you think, you know, if you can keep that going again, and yet you still finish behind Aberdeen, but you can keep that going and you can get something from Celtic eventually. I don't think they've won in, was it the last 10 Old Firm games or something like that, then you've got to imagine that Rangers would be closer this season.
I think it depends on the European stuff as well. I think if Rangers get through the group stages, I think that'll maybe impact on it as well. Obviously Rangers want to get into Europe, it's a financial gain out of it, but if Celtic are playing, Celtic get Champions League and Rangers get European. It'll kind of even itself up. But if it doesn't, you know, it's they'll maybe need to put on a two more in, you know, for the squad as well.
The fact that you said the record against Aberdeen was good last year, and then they're dropping points home against lesser teams, yeah, that tells you it's a mentality thing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Particularly Ibrox. Exactly. I think Ibrox last season.
Gerrard will not allow that mentality to creep in. I think they'll be a much tougher team to beat this year, Rangers.
Yeah. I suppose as well, when they play on Sunday at home to St Mirren, then you'd imagine, like, for example, we're saying dropping points against so-called bottom six teams last season, you put a marker down right away, your first league game at Ibrox, and you make sure you get in and you get a good victory just to set the tone.
I think the fans will be a wee bit more on their side as well. I think last year if they won the one or two up after 10, 15 minutes, the crowd started turning. I think it'll be a wee bit different this year. I think they'll give them that wee bit more, they'll have a bit more patience with them, which is important, you know, because there's nothing worse if you're not itching and then the crowd starts getting in your back. And as you say, the boys that are maybe only playing that well, their confidence is low, you know. I think the fans will be back now, you know, at home. I think last year was a wee bit different. Mm-hmm. The fans were turning up and things weren't right there. I think things are a lot different this year.
You look at Aberdeen, last minute equaliser from young Bruce Anderson coming off the bench, but considering Aberdeen played against a Rangers team for 80 minutes with an extra man, was the performance a little bit disappointing from Aberdeen in terms of the fact that they really didn't work Alan McGregor at all?
It's not a name that you see a lot now, Bruce, is it? Well done, wee Bruce. I was a bit disappointed, but understandable as well. I mean, what was it, extra time against a Premier League team on a Thursday? It does take it out of you, of course it does. Again, Rangers dominated the ball, but never really made a lot of chances. You know, Aberdeen are always going to be that well-organised team with Dell in charge. It was just going forward, the big boy Cosgrove never gave much. Thought they looked a lot more lively when the wee boy Anderson came on. I think he had a couple of chances before his goal. And Mackay Stevens as well, you know, he played 180 minutes. He never played a lot of football last year. You know, he was in and out, same at Celtic. So to play two games in a week for quite a lot of the players, and young players as well, like Cosgrove, who's only young, it is tough, isn't it?
And it was the type of games they were, wasn't it? You know, they were high-profile, big games, you know. And I mean, the game down at Burnley, they put a lot of effort into that, didn't they? They were doing a lot of
pressing and
a lot of pressing, and then it goes to 120 minutes, and as you say, you're back up the road. And so, listen, I think it'll take a couple of weeks for it to bed in, won't it? You know, the way Aberdeen are wanting to play, and they've got a couple of different players in as well. So,
but you look at it though, and again, I know it's only one game, but you've mentioned Cosgrove getting right in there as a number nine. We're spoken about Morelles as well, as much as Morelles is a goal scorer, for me he does it straight, he's been a goal scorer, it's going to get you win you the league. I think the two of them are lacking that. Well, that's what I was going to say. Both clubs, you know, considering they want to challenge, they're going to have to go and find a number nine from somewhere between now and August 31st.
You need somebody
they don't come cheap.
No. If you're playing up front with Rangers, you should be getting 20-25 a season, and Aberdeen 15-20, you know, because 80-90% of the games they've played, they've got most of the possession, you know. But can you see Morelos getting you 25-30 goals? Can you see an Aberdeen striker getting 20? And that's the difference between them and Celtic. Celtic have got 2-3 strikers there that will get you 20-25.
I think that's been Aberdeen's one thing they've missed the past couple of years, isn't it? A good striker. I know Rooney scored a couple of goals, but I didn't think his link-up play was that great.
But I think the way they play, they make themselves hard to beat and try and
hard for strikers, don't you?
And try and nick a one now. So it's hard for strikers, you know. It's hard if you're, because the way Dell is, it builds to the back, doesn't it? It makes the teams hard to beat, and you know, and Aberdeen are never going to go and beat teams 4-5 and 6-0. You know, they're like 1 or 2, you know. So that's, and it's difficult for a striker who's going to play up there himself and maybe not get as much many chances.
It'll be interesting to see who plays up front for Rangers if Morelos is suspended on Saturday.
Who
comes in? I know. I kind of think who would play up there.
The boy they got on loan from Roma, Sadiq. There's what else could they do? They could they put Windass through the middle, Jamie Murphy through the middle? They could maybe look at something like that. Or they might have somebody signed between now and Sunday.
You're going to challenge Celtic for league. You need two natural strikers, two goal scorers, didn't you? They need to get somebody in, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. At Celtic Park, they're certainly not short of goal scorers, and you know, one guy again who's just—he seems to just get better with the game is Odson Edward, and even at £8-9 million, he already looks to be an absolute steal. We've been impressed with him, you know, again the way he started the season.
Oh, he's a big boy, isn't he? He's got everything. He really does. I mean, you look at where he lacks, and I can't see him. You know, he's got pace, power. He can link the play. He's a goal scorer. Didn't see him miss many chances, Edward. Every time he gets put through, it's a goal. You know, he's very composed.
So cool, he doesn't look flustered in that position. That's a sign of a right good striker, isn't it? You play with some guys and they get through 1-on-1 and you know they're going to be scoring. It's a great feeling that if you've got strikers like that, you know, you can maybe be under the cosh, but you know one of the guys is going to sneak you something.
The one as well, I've only seen the highlights, but Rodgick looked unplayable again. and he just gets better and better, Tom Rodgers. He had quite a disappointing World Cup, I thought. Mm-hmm. The games I watched, never really got involved as much as he does when he plays for Celtic.
Yeah, it was also Australia, just couldn't he... They had him in the team, but they weren't actually playing to his strengths in that final third.
They do it here. You know, everything goes through him, which he thrives on.
He's brilliant as well. See the way he takes the ball at half-time.
Lovely to watch, isn't it?
On that, just, you know, Celtic still looking to bring a couple in the door. The latest one that Brendan Rodgers has brought up again is Patrick Roberts. Do you think Celtic need him back?
No, I don't know, personally, I don't know, I think so. I mean, James Forrest been brilliant last year. I thought he was Celtic's best player last year, James Forrest. I mean, do you bring somebody up again, giving him massive wages to sit on the bench, which he did quite a lot last year, you know? He started off quite well, but in the main, James Forrest has played ahead on the time he's been here. And I just think a fit and strong James Forrest is more effective than Patrick Roberts. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me with that, but I think when you look at assists and goals,
I think because he gets back the way he's up and doing, isn't he? You know, and he helps you getting back the way as well. Whereas Roberts will get fans off his seats and stuff, but there's another side taking back the way, isn't there? I think James is a lot better and going back the way.
The thing now as well is if Griffiths and Dembele are fit, Edouard takes up one of the wide places as well. I mean,
and you've got Sinclair there as well. I don't think that's a need, is it? You know, there's other places that could maybe be strengthened, you know.
Maybe you consider, I know they're different positions, but you've lost an attacking threat in Stuart Armstrong so far now. So maybe Roberts, you know, fills a hole in terms of just giving you that extra
you've
option.
You've still got your two there. You've got your Rogic and you've got McGregor, who's been unbelievable as well.
Brilliant.
And I think McGregor's a first choice now as well. So there's, I know you want competition for places, but I don't think you want too many. You know, maybe having one, two for each position, but in that case, it'll be three or four. You know, because you've got Sinclair, you've got Forrest, you've got Roberts, you've got Edouard, you've got Rog. You know, they're all kind of battling for
seven or eight places
for two positions, really, innit? You know, because you've got one of them. You've got Dembele, who's going to Dembele's. I think your main starter, isn't he? But in saying that, big man Edwards, I think he's pretty sure in that man, as well.
I think Boyata, see that today, Fulham, is it 9 million?
Yeah.
So centre, if he Wonder goes in, you need to get a centre half in, don't you? I think they were going to go for McKenna maybe, but looks like he's done his hamstring, didn't it?
Yeah.
So there's another option out the way.
Yeah, they're certainly going to be, between now and Thursday, certainly going to be interesting. Celtic players will be interesting to see what happens between now and then. Celtic playing against Livingston on Saturday, going to be a long, tough season for Kenny Miller and these boys.
It is, and I think, speaking to Lee Miller last week, Kenny's wanting them to play a bit more, and I think that kind of done them here. I think we Scotty Robinson tried to play a couple of times, whereas maybe in the Championship you get away with that, but here they were on him straight away. They nicked the ball from him and they end up scoring. So it's going to be a tough one with Kenny, because obviously his philosophy is he wants to play football, but can he do that with that group of players is always a big question. I think he might.
They got the success last year with being direct and hard to beat and determined and things like that, you know, so you're changing what you had your success with, you know, and try to, because the type of players they had, that was the type of players that would go and battle and be hard to beat. And I think that's a better way to go in a league where you're going to be struggling most weeks, aren't you? They're not going to have a lot of the ball, Livingston most weeks. They're going to be, you know, so they're going to need to just scrap and battle and bite, you know. And listen, you come up and try. Everybody wants to play nice, silky football, but sometimes you've got to do what you're good at.
Who's going down, Andy? Who's
Livingston for me.
Livingston going down. Who's in the playoff?
Hamilton.
Livy and Hamilton. Okie dokie. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say, joined by Andy McLaren and Simon Ferry. We're in association with our friends at William Hill. We've just had a blare about the opening weekend in the SPFL Premiership. We're going to speak about football trips. Hibs had an absolute trip from hell, but they still managed to get through in their away tie in Greece, and they're playing again on Thursday night in the Europa League qualifiers. And we're also going to look down south. Big kick-off down there this weekend. We'll touch on the Man City-Chelsea Community Shield game. Is that something that we should bring into Scottish football? And also we'll get the guys to give their predictions on who's going to win the title there and who's going to be going down, finishing in that bottom three. Okay, Hibs away to Greece, hotel problems, travel problems, their fans ended up being let down because of to cancel flights. What did you make it? You think there was a bit of skullduggery involved at the at the Greek end, or was it just one of those unfortunate things?
Somebody says to me that Lenny was sitting next to Adam Bogdan and somebody thought the seats were on fire. Was he not? So what, was Lenny blaming, was he saying that the Greek club were trying to sabotage it?
A little bit, yeah. There was maybe hints at, you know, that they weren't being, you know, as accommodating as, you know, away teams in Europe should be in terms of looking after their hosts and their guests. And then the hotel they eventually get into had a power cut and stuff like that as well. So right. There was so much going on that made you think. You
know, I remember when I travelled with the first, I think it was either Hearts. It was Hearts away, actually. You know the hotel right next to the castle? Or it was either Hearts or Aberdeen, it was one of the two.
The Balmoral Hotel, was it?
And there was a wedding.
Hearts or Aberdeen?
I can't remember.
Close to each other. Aberdeen
Edinburgh. I can't remember if it was there or we were away at Aberdeen, but there was a wedding on and it was full of the other team's fans and we were playing them the next day and the fire alarm was off about three times that night and they were all going nuts. So it does happen, of course it does. I wouldn't have surprised me if the old Greeks have sabotaged
it. Because you've seen that, haven't you? They're outside the hotel all night, like their flares and singing and all that, you know. So listen, that's always been.
Have you done any like that, Andy, on your
I've
travels?
A few
down
bad
south
trips. We'd won and we went away to Slovakia once with Dundee United, and it was horrendous. The hotel was absolutely minging. I slept with a tracksuit on, I soaked on my hands. The hotel was minging. I went in for a shower, and there was big spiders and all that, and the food was horrendous. It was.
We get you beat. See him, you twinned up with somebody.
I think it was in me. Wee Robbie Winters, but it was horrible. The fans loved it.
That socks usually hanging off someone else.
Had to break it. but that was the food and all that was minging as well. But to be fair, the fans loved it. The fans, it was the cheapest place in the world. The fans were having champagne breakfast for about £3 and that. So they loved it. But as I say, it wasn't the greatest.
I had a bad one. I was went away pre-season with Tony Mowbray, and the first leg of the trip, I think you had to fly to Dubai, and then it was Dubai to Australia. So the first, it was business class. So it was just you and somebody else next to each other. Fucking got Big Sammy, didn't I? Fucking big man, never said a word for 24 hours, man. Honestly, I was fucking desperate.
Did you just have to sit and comb his hair?
Second half of the trip, Paddy McCourt buzzing.
Sammy was saying the same thing about you, man.
Me and Paddy had so much food, I think he was slipping as a couple of beers, so that was better. Made up for the 24 hours of Big Sammy, man. Oh,
Sammy,
my God.
I've not set my sights. Don't ever claim it's set my sights.
Oh, mate, there's another one. La Manga, we went with Gordon Strachan, and all the rooms had got picked, and the manager had put me with wee Sean, and I just seen the colour drain out of wee Sean's face. A week, me and Sean, man, off. He was devastated, I could tell. He was talking to us about coffee and all. I've not got a clue, man. He loves coffee, huh?
Poor Best Sean. Room, mate, Andy.
Robbie made a good cup of tea. Cheat, to be fair, cheat towards the end. I started getting put in myself. I don't know what that was about. I don't know if people just refused to give me or whatever, but as I say, the last couple of...
It's probably because you didn't wash these socks.
No, but aye, Robbie was always good. But as I say, it's... There's always.
Did you ever do the pranks with each other or not?
The trips were pre-season trips were the worst trips in the world, because they take you in the middle of nowhere. I remember we went to, I think it was Norway or something, and it was horrendous. We were there for 10 days and it was like,
Is this with Jim or Ivan or?
It was, I think it was Ballykirkwood, and it was like Largs we stayed in, in the middle of nowhere, and I remember Big Elvis.
That's
walked
a bit harsh and Largs, isn't it? a lovely front home of football.
Horrible. And Big Elvis ended up walking off the training ground one day because we were just all slotting each other. It was just, and he just walked off and walked back. But that was horrendous. I mean, pre-season trips are always horrendous, isn't they? Because you're running every day, and as long as you get an out at the end, that was the main thing.
Brilliant. I know that was it, but that's going out. We went to the, what's it called? That Hungary place. Budapest.
Hungarian.
10 days over there, and we hardly never gave us a night out, eh? Devastated. The boys are double sessions. I think we did it, huh?
We done, man. My first ever trip, we went to Holland, and all the boys skipped it. We were all climbing out windies and everything. It was like fucking SES. We were all jumping out, everybody dressed in black and all that. And we jamming Luggy, fun out, and came down to the pub. End up, there was a fight and everything. Kinning and all that. End up in the papers, it was brilliant. It was my first ever trip. I was about 17, and rather than try and show a good attitude, I think I was the first one out.
Well, tell me that though, and you say, oh, there's no nights out, there's no. But why should you get a night out? You're there to work and you're there to prepare.
It's bizarre, but
so why should you get a night out?
It's just always been a given, isn't it? You got a night out.
Because I was talking about it the other day. It's mental because you basically you run your guts out for 2 weeks, get yourself mega fit, and then
you want a night out.
Aye, but we used to always date on a Saturday. You used to come in on a Saturday morning and get absolutely battered, right? And that'd be the end of. Because you wouldn't see the ball for 2 weeks. You would just be running for 2 weeks. And then you get this Saturday. I remember the United used to do, I think it was 3 800-yarders and 3 1500-yarders. And it was horrible. They were horrible runs. Mm. And then right after that, the boys would all just go out and get absolutely smashed. kind of defeats the purpose of what you've done.
I would just say, if you're going to get a night out, right, are they not as well doing it at the
start of the trip?
Right, that's it.
I just hit a night out, it's meant to be just a reward for your graft, to be fair, right enough. See, when they say you can have a night out, it's like you can have 2 or 3 pints, right? And that's they always say that,
and it never works that way
because you give 20 boys 3 pints, it's just
wild. Yeah. I just think a night out pre season's good because new boys come in,
yeah,
and you get to know boys straight away on a night out, you know, you get to see the funny side of them, and that's what I enjoy a night out pre season.
And you do the initiation stuff, you need to get up and sing a song, did you do all that?
Always. You just find out who the maniacs are, don't you? You know,
what was your song?
What was your chant? I think mine was The Drifters, Under the Boardwalk.
Oh.
Great song, isn't it? Classic. Who, remember I told you Andy Hinkle's joke? We are sinking, what is it you are sinking of? German Coast Guard, fucking went doing like a shit sandwich, man. Terrible. But the initiation boys actually getting a proper thingy about the initiations.
I honestly never really had anything like that. I'm going to be honest, I can't remember.
None of the clubs, no.
I think nowadays, but I couldn't bother with me.
Did you see the PSG players with Thomas Tuchel?
No.
He was doing his press there, wherever they were, in their pre-season tour there, and he's actually in after the game, doing his post-match with all the media, and he gets stormed by the PSG players who started scooshing water over him, pouring drinks over him, and then made him sing a song as part of his
initiation. Is he alright, mate?
He sang, was it Terrell Happy? And he sat, but... It seems strange. That wasn't me singing, that was Simon. It was strange to see a manager getting taken on that way, but then when you watched the full clip, you thought, "Do you know what? What a great atmosphere! It looked great, and the manager. And I know he's only his late 30s, you know, but he thought it was great just to see him join him.
The Canio was good. Like that. He loved that Moves Like Jagger. Do you remember that song?
So he
got up and done that, and then we won the league, and they got a party on the pitch at Swindon, just because it was the Canio. He ended up getting top loader in the Lightning season. So they fucking played, and the Canio was up on the stage at 90 degrees. He had leather gloves on, dancing in the moonlight. Like, pissing myself laughing at him, man. Brilliant, unbelievable.
You could imagine me Jim doing that.
Fining you in the moonlight. Right, brilliant. Good wee stories there for the boys, right? We've got, what have we got? 8 or 9 minutes to go on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Howell. Okay, the English champions Man City, they beat Chelsea with a bit to spare there on Sunday in the traditional curtain raiser, the Community Shield. First of all, what do you make of that fixture and how they do that down in England? And do you think that's something that we should look to do up here?
No, I don't like it.
It's kind of half-arsed,
isn't it? I watched it for the first 20 minutes and Leeds versus Stoke was on, so I watched that competitive game. I mean, they say it's a competitive game, but you get water breaks and you have 5 subs, so it's not a competitive game. If you want to make it a competitive game with 3 subs and do it properly, but nah, I've no time for it. I don't think it would work.
I think as well, if you brought it up here, one thing you've got to remember, you know, if it was Celtic v Rangers or Celtic v Aberdeen or Hearts v Hibs or whatever it ended up being, we already play each other a minimum four times and to introduce that again, and with our season being so cramped, where would we fit it in terms of the calendar
and the League Cup now as well?
I know that starts Saturday, Tuesday,
didn't you? Yeah. There's no time for it, and the teams in Europe as well, the teams are back so early, you know, the Premier League teams.
It's different down there. I've got that. I mean, your teams are playing in Europe, aren't they? You know, they're playing in Europe for June, July, so they wouldn't As you say, Mark, it's trying to fit it in. Where would you fit it in? And it'd be all right if it was Celtic Rangers, but could you imagine if it was, you know, you've got half full Hamden, and I think it looks good down there because you've got it at Wembley and you've got 100,000 there. And saying that, I think that was half empty as well down there on Saturday, wasn't it?
The game's at a snail's pace, isn't it? I watched a couple of minutes and it's not a football game for me. If it's not competitive, it's not much point, I don't think.
Well, their league season starts this weekend, Friday night, Man United v Leicester is the first game on the telly, and then the rest is over Saturday. Sunday, fair to say, Man City, the team to beat again down there.
You've got to, innit? You've got to say that.
I don't think anybody will get near them again. I really don't.
Not even Liverpool?
No, I don't. I think they're still a good bit in front of everybody. And Pep's get his standards into it. They're not going to get dropped. And they were a good bit in front of everybody this year, and I don't think anybody's... They've not brought anybody you think is going to make a big difference, is it? You know,
I'm surprised he's not brought more players. I thought he'd have brought in two or three. It's only Mahrez, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he's brought in. And I don't think Mahrez starts for him.
No, he's got... No. Mendy's back in the squad now. He was injured for most of...
He'll be like a new signing.
Last season, he's like a new signing.
He's got Sane, who never went to the World Cup either, so he's got a point to prove as well. He's
unbelievable. Aguero, who's been carrying a knock for a wee while, he's 100%. And the young... Forgive me, forget his name. The young English boy that they're all raving about down there, that he's... Seems to be what he can get involved.
I think the left back one was a position that they kind of felt Delph played in, and the wee boys Fiatchenko played there a couple of times. But I think Mendy looks like a right good player as well. So if you've got a fully fit Mendy, I watched, as I said, 20 minutes and he was up and down.
But surely Liverpool, let's look at Liverpool, the biggest spenders, 170, 180 million. Keita, Shaqiri, Alisson, the goalkeeper, a couple of others, and as well Fabinho. Liverpool finished, 25 points behind Man City, but they did beat City in the league. But you look at the points Liverpool dropped, they dropped points to the three teams that were relegated, Swansea, West Brom, and who's the other one?
I think Klopp's teams have always kind of been like that, haven't they? They get
if they can get that
consistency,
out their game, you know, then you think they've got to be in about there. Surely Van Dijk getting better, the goalkeeper's got to be worth.
They've got to be close on 25 points, isn't they? You know,
Stoke, they dropped points to Stoke, as I'm thinking.
They've got to be closer, but.
And can Salah have the same season as he had last year?
I don't think so. For me, this has got to be an interesting season for Salah, because I genuinely don't think he can have it.
You think teams will be wise to him now? Just hard to keep
that. I think he's maybe one of the guys, that sounds a bit harsh, but. You've seen guys like that have an unbelievable season, then the next season it's dead hard to follow that up, you know. And I think a lot of his goals last year, it was having one of his seasons. Everything he was hitting was going in. I don't think that happens 2 years in a row. I really don't. I'd love to see him do that, but I don't think he will.
The three London clubs, I've got Spurs, not signed anybody yet. They're looking to get two or three out the door, and you've got Chelsea and Arsenal both with new managers. Do you see the main challenge to Man City coming from one of the London clubs?
No, I think the three have got poorer.
I think they've not signed anybody, you know. You need to, I think Chelsea have went backwards as well. Chelsea are looking quite
Hazard leaving
and Hazard I think if Hazard leaves, I think Chelsea will struggle
mid-table.
They could finish sixth. I think they could, because Hazard's that big a player for them.
Every player at Spurs kind of signed never end up playing for them. They signed the boy Moura for PSG, and the fullback Arier never seemed to play. You know, I think the last good signing they had, who would you say? I can't even remember. You know, somebody that's came in and made an immediate impact.
Going to the new stadium, though, with that. Be a help to them, or that take them a while to bed in.
I think Harry Kane's massive for them. If Harry Kane clicks in, but I think all their eggs in the one basket with him. You know, if he gets injured,
Son's away as well in international duty for the first few weeks of the season.
I like Son.
He's a good player, isn't he?
But as I say, I think they're relying too much on Harry Kane.
Man United, we touched them last week, Simon. Andy, for you, are Man United top three, or are they going to be more like fifth, sixth?
No, I think they'll be top three, but just because I don't think Tottenham or Arsenal or Chelsea have improved. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've, for me, they've, no, maybe not so much Tottenham because they've got the same squad, but Chelsea, no, I don't think, I think Arsenal, they're in transition as well. But Mourinho's strange, isn't he? He's got the best job in the world.
It's mad,
every press conference, he looks as if he's got the weight of the world in his shoulders, you know. When he first came, it was, everything was bubbly and he was a man. And
when he came at Chelsea 14 years ago.
Yeah. And he seems to have, he's changed now, hasn't he? You know, he seems dead down and he's always going on.
He's certainly
players,
not missing the chief executive.
No,
Edward,
I know.
Does he?
I know.
He's leaving a bit on him, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, you need players, you need players, you need players. I mean, and Mourinho always done his bit. He always done his business early, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
He always had them in early doors, you know, so that's different for them as well.
He's on Liverpool just now as well, isn't he? Just speaks about them all the time.
But on that, it looks like the decision for the English transfer window to close on Thursday night, August the 9th, 3 weeks out of sync with Germany
Spain,
and Italy and Spain, all your other bigger leagues, it's now looking like an act of folly.
I think it's a good thing. Well, everybody knows when it's finishing, you know, so get your business done earlier.
But it leaves them susceptible to their main players still getting taken between now and the end of the month.
But I don't know, I think they're that rich and powerful that the, once the window's shut in England, I don't think they'll obviously it's on the club's terms and they want it, but these clubs didn't.
What other clubs anywhere else apart from Real Madrid and Barcelona can come and take the top players for you?
Well, there's certainly a resurgence in Italy, both Milan clubs, Juve, potentially Bayern Munich.
But Milan can't do nothing, they've had...
They get an embargo on them just now. Well, there's probably five, maybe six, like you're talking about, like your Hazards, your Pogbas, maybe Mourinho would want to get rid of Pogba, we don't know. But the thing is, if they don't know what's coming, they can't prepare. And you don't like it as player power. If a player really wants to kick up a stink the last two or three days of a window, he can really force the issue.
If Man United didn't get a midfielder in and Barcelona come in for Pogba, they'll just not sell him.
If they bring the window forward,
it's a decision they voted on. And
Jim White decided,
through,
was it?
It went through. Mates. I'd run out of yellow ties.
Especially this year, you know, because people are away in the World Cup.
Exactly. I think there was a bit of arrogance down south with the decision makers here because they thought, aye, all the other leagues will fall into line with us. Uh-huh. And they've not. So I think they've left themselves open. It wouldn't be surprised me if they try and reverse it and go back to the
31st.
Thursday is their deadline at 5 o'clock for bringing people in,
but
people can still go out.
You know what it's like, you sign the new players in the end of August, it takes them, that's September, October for them to get up to speed and things like that. I mean, I've always thought, get your players in June, July, get your business done early, then you've got everybody in for pre-season. Alright, if something special comes up, maybe towards the end of it then, but for me, I would always want to know what I was working with.
Why did they not do it early, just to save a few quid of her?
I don't know. Because it's show business now, isn't it? The windows became show business, you know. Before nobody bothered their arse about the transfer window, you know. It just came in. But Sky have kind of made a thing of it, haven't
box
they? You
office
know,
you were saying
yellow ties.
Thursday's panic stations.
5 o'clock.
Thursday's panic stations for us when Frank McAvenny walks in for that Cooper.
Hey, we could do your Cooper show. Derek Ferguson's up. Aye, Derek.
Frank was close as well. Frank wasn't too far off.
Did Frank get one out of four this week? Did he?
But Derek Cooper up first week, mate. There you go.
It wasn't hard Saturday, but was it?
Yeah.
What was his selection again?
He chose the Aberdeen Rangers draw.
A draw. Good odds.
Hibs and Hearts, was it?
Hearts to win, Hibs to win.
And who was the other one?
Celtic.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Listen, it sounds
easy. It all counts, exactly.
If it was easy, we certainly wouldn't be sitting here doing this. We'd all be millionaires doing something else, enjoying ourselves. Right, before we go, predictions, who's going to win the English Premier League, Simon?
Man City.
Andy?
Man City. Yeah,
okay, give me three to go down. Who's your three that's going to go down?
Cardiff. Who else came up?
Fulham.
No, I feel most up. Cardiff. I'll go Cardiff. Bandy, who do you think? Well, I think of my two.
Newcastle, could they find themselves a bit of bother?
No, Benitez is too good tactically, I think, for them to go down.
I think Huddersfield.
Huddersfield, yeah.
Huddersfield were really lucky last year, weren't they? I think they'll go down.
Didn't like watching Huddersfield.
No, they're horrible, aren't they?
It's a shame, poor Huddersfield.
No, but they're spending... It's not as if... they're spending a few quid, aren't they? They've got 100 million, you think?
So who are we looking at? Cardiff,
Southampton.
Huddersfield.
I think Southampton. Yeah.
So you're three.
Cardiff,
Huddersfield.
Southampton.
And Southampton.
Yeah.
Andy?
Watford for me.
Yeah, good
right, okay.
Because Watford lost the manager, didn't they? And they were in free fall after Christmas last year, didn't they? So
right, so Watford's one, Huddersfield's two.
Huddersfield's my two, and Cardiff.
Yeah,
so there you go. You've heard it here first. There's the boys. Fearless predictions. As ever, don't rush to back that. Get your money, put on something sensible. Listen, thanks again. It's been a fantastic 45 minutes on the Open Goal podcast. Keeping the ball on the ground in association with William Hill. Our thanks to Andy McLaren and our thanks to Simon Ferry. But most of all, a thanks to you for listening and sticking with us for the last 45 minutes. And we'll speak to you again next week. Take care.